Righto, folks. Talk to the champ, Josh, the Tank Jenkins. Talked all things boxing and just the discipline and the dedication of what it takes to be a champion and to get the Australian Super Middleweight Championship and what it means to have that belt around the waist. So this bloke is on the trajectory path on the way up. So listen up. Let's get into it.
Keep rolling with Jake Briggs. Oh, yeah.
Righto, we're rolling.
Done.
Josh Jenkins, the gentleman.
Yeah, the tank now.
The tank now.
Yes.
Just wanted to clarify on that.
Yeah.
And, just not that long ago, got in a Blake Travers, mate.
Yeah.
To claim the Australian Super Middleweight boxing title.
Pretty heavy.
Pretty heavy. The experience of that. And, mate, just want to touch on first, man, just life, man, and how that's going for your brother now, just,
mate.
You know, with the family and just being up here on the coast and how that's all going for
it's
you.
It's pretty full on. Three kids.
You got three now.
I've got three kids, man. I've got Manai, who's eight, and then Honey Ray, she's four. And I've got my young son, Rocky.
Rocky. Yeah.
He's not recently turned one. He's pretty full on, the little fella.
Yeah. Have you got him primed up? You got little gloves for him yet or what?
No, I think, I don't know what he'd know what to do with them. He'd probably just eat them.
So what are these, you know?
Yeah. Chews on everything, bud.
Does he have a little spa with dad and stuff? Or?
Oh, he loves a good tickle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But, yeah, and just want to talk about, mate, just with life in general and just with your family and just, like, juggling that with, like, boxing. Training and boxing and
They do cop a bit of the slack, I dare say. You go to work massive. Like, you're working in Sydney, man. Doesn't matter if you do 8 hours a day, you're 3 hours of travel taken out of your day, so it doesn't really leave much left.
Then you have
training session into that, and then it's pretty minimal time.
Yeah, right.
So you do that, and then you take time off work, so you take 5 or 6 weeks off work to go training for a fight.
Yeah.
So you're training in the morning, you're resting during the day, then you're training in the afternoon, and then you eat, sleep, drink, boxing. Sort of just there for looks at in that time, so they do cop a fair bit of the slack. But lucky, I mean, Mrs. supports me a fair bit. She definitely has a say sometimes, but who wouldn't?
We'll keep you grounded and everything else. Especially now that you know you're the champ, middleweight champ.
That's right. She keeps me in line, man. I sort of have to take my hat off to her. I'm like sleeping or resting, and she'll take the kids out for the day, and I'll come home, we'll be sparring or something. Come home pretty sore, and she'll take the kids out, let me rest. So I've got a good support.
Yeah,
which is always good. I'm coming home winning the Australian title after life, just in general, man. After sort of what I've gone through, which is pretty epic to come home, man, and give me little girl the Australian title to take to school was like,
it's
pretty cool, you know. It's a mad thing.
And how's that feel, just being the Australian champ? Like, you know, after the fight, when that belt got wrapped around you, like, how did it feel, brother?
After everything, it was probably my biggest accomplishment, like, I remember at the start of the year, the fight was G'd up and I got injured, I got crook, and the fight got pushed back. And like, I was so heartbroken. And then just like hurt my hand and go through training was like, to just see that reward at the end, man, was pretty touching, you know? Like, something I've really worked hard, and hopefully it's just the start of something big. Hopefully I've got something big and green around my belt with the WBC, you know. Mate, who knows?
That's what I want to see, man.
So dropping down a weight class to middleweight now. I've tried to keep as much weight as I could on this 4 weeks off, so I haven't really blown out too much and training.
Yeah.
And now start really concentrating, getting these kegs off and start switching right on. Now my hands healed, which is job's on, bud.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah.
So you're looking at this like 76 kilos.
72 now.
So it's 72 now.
Yeah.
So what's your walk around weight at?
So I'm only about 82 now.
Yep.
So which is... I haven't at all taken care of my diet, if I was going to be too honest about it.
Yeah.
But I haven't really taken that long off. So I've kept a couple of runs up a week and kept some last week. I've started punching again. My hand still hurts a touch, but I'm going to push through and keep going. And now I just really start switching on. And I was fighting at 76 kilos. And as I was saying, they're more massive. I'm sort of fighting in a weight I shouldn't be fighting in. I'm slack with my diet, my whole prep. And I don't mean I'm going out eating KFC, but I'm eating a large portion of meal. Like, if I'm not full, I'll eat more chicken or more rice. And, like, you know, it's time to start really switching on, being professional and chasing the dream.
That's it, brother.
Yeah.
And when you, so how do you reckon I'll be getting, like, just the weight cut to get down? Say, if you're walking around 82, getting down to 72, is it? Like, sort of, where do you start? If you've got, like, a, say, 6 to 8 week fight camp.
Yeah.
So you sort of start a little bit before you get into camp and then go pretty hardcore, or?
So, I am, man. So instead of, like, blowing right out, I just sort of keep a little bit subconscious about me diet. And now I'll just stay on diet for the whole 8 weeks for the fight, and I'll be pretty easy making middleweight, man.
Like, yeah.
I make super middle pretty well. So I'll be making middleweight, no dramas.
Yeah. And diet, what sort of, is there any specific thing, or it's just like lean meats?
No, it's not. Like, I just believe if you can eat it or pick it, or if you can, like, if it's an animal, you can kill it or pick it, it's good. You know what I mean? No packet stuff. No, it's not really anything like a fad diet or nothing.
I like that look on it. I've never heard that before, but...
So, and then just a bit small portions, you know, like try and lay off the carbs. You know, if you're
carbs,
eating something...
Carbs, man.
Oh, look, I have carbs every meal, right? Every meal I have carbs, but, like, I'm not going to go and have a massive big bowl of pasta at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's no rocket science to it. There's no, like, eat half an avocado, it's just rice... Chicken, a little bit of meat, you know, nothing too crazy. Heaps of water.
Yeah. And how do you balance that? Like, with a lot of the water, you know how some people get into water loading and all that sort of stuff.
I've never done the water loading. One of the boys at the gym do it. He swears by it, but I just do it all diet.
Yeah.
I had one written out, but I'm not going to lie, I'm no genius with it, so...
But if it works and works for you and you're getting down to that weight, and the main thing is if you're feeling healthy and especially if you're going into camp, which, you know, they can get pretty intense,
So I just went and seen someone. I had a dude at the gym that was boxing. His missus was a nutritionist or whatever her label is. And I just went and seen her, man. So I just follow. And she said, like, what do you like eating? And I pretty much said, whatever you put there, I don't want to eat anyway. So just tell me what I have to eat and I'm going to eat it.
Because I'm
going to be wanting a chicken burger instead of having rice and chicken, aren't you? Like,
so when you're seeing those options, it's like, don't put that out in front of me.
Just tell me what I have to eat, I'll eat it. You know, that's what you can do.
That's awesome, man. So going back, so and if we're looking at the start and talking about another super middleweight, when you're talking about Mark Bruggiero.
Yeah.
And where it started for you.
Yes.
Back in that gym, back in the shed.
Back in the chop shed.
Yeah. Like, I remember training a little bit back then and...
Yeah.
Yeah, she gets hot and sweaty in that place, mate.
I think that's where it all... Like, it did all start. I think you thought, like... It's pretty crazy to think back in those times, like, I was just this real little kid.
Yeah.
Probably weighing 50 kilos, dripping wet, man.
How old were you when you started wrapping up the gloves, mate?
I was 11. Mark Pajero was fighting Anthony Mundine at the time for the Australian super middleweight title at Gosford. I wasn't boxing, and Dad was like, you're not boxing, you're not getting punched in the head. And Mum was like, you're not taking him up. Like, being parents as they are, yeah, I'm sure. And then I just fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Love the training, love the dedication.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sort of stuck with it until after the Olympic Games trials in 2008 for Beijing. And sort of after that, I stopped boxing for a while. Took sort of a bad path, partying, drinking, taking drugs, and
yeah.
Next thing you know, I'm sitting in jail. So you know what I mean?
Yeah. But so, man, sometimes life just goes in those directions. Like, but the good thing is where you've gone through that path and you know, tested those waters, and
that's right.
And then you know, come out on top, and you know, putting the dedication in, and that's what I find and love about, you know, combat sports, and even if it's for young people or, you know, older people, just the whole discipline factor of it.
Yeah.
You know, and where it can get the mindset into.
Yeah.
And where that can help in general life.
It can, mate. Yeah. It really can, because it doesn't matter what you do in life, you've got to work hard for it. I just think hard work pays off, and I think going through some tough times in people's life is a good thing, you know, and it builds a character you turn into.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So do you still get involved with Mark Pajero?
No, I don't anymore. I'm up with a trainer called Rob Fogarty.
Yep.
In Newcastle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I've really bonded with the guy. He's a top person, man. I've had two fights with him now. First fight was the New South Wales title, and the second fight was the Australian title, so I feel like I'm in the right hands.
That's awesome. Yeah. So he's like your main corner man and trainer?
Yep, he's my promoter, matchmaker, he's everything. So.
Yeah, right. So who's your team? Like, how many?
So I've got Rob Fogarty. Mm-hmm. So he does the training with his brother Rich helps out. They're pretty much my fight team. They do handle everything, you know. And then obviously got all the sponsors that help me out, which everyone pays their part. You couldn't do it without your sponsors, you know. You take a lot of time off work, so they help cover your wages and whatnot. And of course you've got my family. They're a massive part of the team. Mum and dad, everyone pays their little part, man.
Yeah. Well, that's really like solid, you know, having that family situation which can help out. And especially if you're doing a camp for 6 to 8 weeks and you've got a family to support, and the importance of that, you know, you're supporting them and they're supporting you, and, you know, having these sponsors on board, which really can sort of take that edge off a little bit, where you don't have to worry so much about that financial situation, and, you know, the focus is on, you know, I'm about to lace up for the Australian Super Middleweight Championship, you know. Yeah,
it does help.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mate, and taking on this bloke, Southpaw, and he's tall.
Real tall.
6'2", yeah?
Yeah.
6'2". Like, what was the preparation like for the fight going into it?
Do you know the whole prep? Never sparred Southpaw and never sparred a tall dude. And my trainer said, he said, this fight, your whole game plan is to outwork this guy. I'm a lot shorter than him, so if I sat on the outside and boxed how I like to box, which is on the outside, pick me punches, blah, blah, I probably wouldn't have went my way. So he said the whole time we just need to get in there, work rate, overwhelm this guy and win.
Yeah.
Which is what we've done.
So it was getting right up in the pocket, and just trying to...
He was a lot taller than me, as you know, so I couldn't stay... I wanted to stay at my length, my distance, instead of... I couldn't sit on the outside, which I wanted to do.
Did he have much... he's 6'2", so did he have a fair bit of reach on him?
He did have a fair bit of... He's awkward as...
Awkward style,
Real awkward, man, And Rob goes, this is not going to look pretty.
Yeah.
And styles make fights.
100%. So was he trying to go jabs first?
He was a real lanky sort of like hook. Every time I try to come in, he sort of throw this big lanky hook and catch me all the time, like over my left hand.
So was he going lead hand hook?
Lead right hand hook and just sort of ducking that way. Hit me with a couple of real long range uppercuts.
Yeah.
So he's real...
So was that just a bit of sort of circle out to the right and get into the pocket?
As a southpaw orthodox fighter, you always try and stay away from their power hand. So if he moves to that way, then I sort of have to – I can't really throw my right hand because he's over there.
So he's
always hooking off, trying to stay. It was good, man.
You got some solid punches on him. Like from what I've seen, like you got a few solid rights on him.
Yeah.
So that, were they like? Did you get a few overhand rights, sort of?
No, I didn't really get to plant, like stand me ground and plant any good punches.
Because it's like when you get that punch in, that the effect that it takes.
Yeah, I sort of backed me right hand, probably not as much as I should. I really wanted to sit and plant one on him. It was all awkward and
His head movement and all that sort of stuff, or just like his body movements.
Just it didn't suit. Suit my style at all. Got the win, mate.
Win. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But was it feeling him out in the first round or?
First round.
Just take us through the
as good as you can through the whole prep round. I said I had a buckled hand through the whole. So even at training.
Yeah, go from the fight camp, brother, and go from.
Right, so the fight, I had a dislocated finger. And I couldn't bend it. It was sort of stuck straight and went to training and then tried to spar. And I was like, I think my hand's broken. Like, so pulled the glove off, got about 30 seconds into the round. I was going, oh.
It's done.
Jumped out and Rob's like, you got to go get an x-ray, go see if this thing's broken and then we'll go from there. And then I rang him. I said, I don't think I'm going to go get an x-ray. And he goes, well, you got two options. You can either grit your teeth, keep punching, let's work and let's win this Australian title, or I can pull the fight.
When are you going to get that chance again if you pull out?
Well, that's
you know?
It, man. I'm like, I'm going to just grit my teeth. I'm going to go in and I'm going to fight. And he goes, we'll go see the doctor and... So I ended up seeing a doctor and a hand specialist and they just said, like, you're not going to fix your hand in time to fight. So sparring through the whole time, sort of trying to nurse his left hand and always in the back of your mind punching and just had to grip my teeth, man, and knuckle through and work through this training prep. And the first round into the fight was sort of in the back of my head about my left hand.
Yeah.
Not being able to close it and hurting it and... come back to the corner and Rob's just like, this is the Australian title, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to just start letting that left hand go. And then from then on in, I started trying to break him down with the body and started closing the range and getting in there and trying to wrestle him a bit, you know.
Yeah, because I was going to say he looks like he cuts a bit. Because I was looking like he looks pretty thin in the middle. So if you're getting at the body, that would have affected him a bit.
I'm not too sure what he come down from. I dare say it'd be bit heavier because he weighed him with no undies on.
Yeah.
So he was pretty scrapped for weight, I reckon.
He wasn't
the cleanest fighter in the world. He ended up biting my ear through the fight and so
what, he threw a Tyson in there?
He threw a Tyson in my ear.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So did you just get marks in there or you took a chunk out of your ear?
No, it wasn't too bad. It was only a couple of abrasions on top of my ear. It wasn't too bad.
But did the ref pick up on it or what?
I got pulled back to the corner and the doctor said, yeah, there is a laceration on. Like, he couldn't, because we were in the clinch, he couldn't see that he'd done it, you know.
That's dirty,
but as soon as he done that, I knew, like, if you're resorting to biting someone, I've got this fight and I'm starting to frustrate him.
Yeah, so, and that's the thing too, and then that would have fired you up,
Yeah, it was good, man. I knew, it was good. It was good, that part. I know it was bad, but it was sort of a good turning point for me.
Righto, so, Jank Tank, tell us about your boxing style, mate, without giving away the trade secrets.
I'm sort of probably a counterpuncher.
Yeah.
Counterpuncher, but I like fighting my fight.
Tell you what, personally, that's the style that I really like, you know. I like someone that gets in there and just has a crack, but that's sort of dangerous grounds too, you know.
Yeah.
That's when someone like you comes in. Someone's swinging wild, you know, duck out and throw one on the chin see you later, you know.
And I've got a big tank on me now, like fitness-wise, so I sort of training with Rob's really makes you grind, man. Like, yeah. Really grind. So it gives you a bit of confidence going in. Like, I'm fit and ready to go.
Yeah.
And can adapt your style, catch punch, you know what I mean? Make them miss, make them pay, Jake.
Yeah, that's it, right? Plan and put them down. But that's what I noticed when you said you got more in the tank. Like, you know, was it 2 years ago when you went for the, got the draw for the New South Wales State?
Oh, I fought Isaac Buckley, got a draw.
Tough fight, yeah.
Oh, I hadn't fought for a few times.
Yeah.
I was working for Titan Cranes. They're a great company, absolutely unreal. We're putting a crane up in Newcastle. And I was on the back of a semi-trailer and fell off the semi-trailer and rolled my ankle and ripped the tendon off in half.
Not off the bone, like in half.
Ripped it in half, but pretty much close to them. So pretty much ripped it off the bone. And that was about 4 weeks before, 3.5 weeks before the fight. So done that and then tore another tendon in there as well. Or ligaments.
Yep.
And
so they're pretty bad too when you start tearing ligaments,
So I needed ankle reconstruction, but I didn't want to pull out of the fight. So I fought anyway, which is pretty silly to do because I couldn't even road run.
Yeah.
Fought an incredibly fit guy, Isaac Buckley, and what a bloke he is.
Yeah.
An absolute gentleman to talk to. So, yeah, I got a real tough draw. I thought I won the fight, but it was pretty tough, that fight, man. So.
I could just see it too where, like with the footage that I've watched, where the difference where you look exhausted in that that fight for the New South Wales title back then. But
that wasn't for the title. It was just a fight.
Oh, it was just a straight-up fight? Yeah. Okay. Okay, sorry. Yeah. But then so from that fight compared to when you won the Australian Super Middleweight, like you looked like you could have went a few more rounds.
Yeah, I felt like
just what you got in the tank now.
Yeah, it's a heaps big difference, isn't it?
Big time. I could see it, like just physically how you looked.
Yeah. Heaps better. I think it's just the way I train, different, manage your body. Had my ankle reconstructed after that. So,
what did they have to do to reconstruct your ankle?
So they, it's like a half ligament reconstruction. So they drilled through the bone. I don't know what bone it was, and then pulled the ligament up and through the bone, and then sort of stitched it back onto itself, and then like cut soft tissue and added soft tissue there to sort of stabilise it a bit better.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's pretty full on. So that set me back a few months.
Yeah, right. But life goes on and, you know, you just got to keep the eyes on the prize. 100%. And that's it. Yeah. Keep these wheels going, mate. And where do you draw, like, inspiration from, like, when it's got to do with boxing, if it's from, you know, boxers from the past, the present, or the future, if it's Australian, international, like, you know, when you're growing up, who were you looking up to?
When I was growing up, Denny Green was massive back then. So I'd draw a lot from him when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Back then, I suppose, and then, like, Manny Pacquiao was coming through, and Kosuzu, like, he was, like, royalty. I remember getting into a lift, just won the Australian title in Tassie, and Costa Zoo hops in, flicking this, like, gold bangle around with all these boxing gloves, man. I, like, just sort of stood at him, like, just stared off and, like, I was like, far out, man, that's Costa Zoo. So I'd probably, the biggest inspiration would probably be Costa Zoo, I'd dare say.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, and you can see his son's getting in the mix now.
He is.
His weight, though?
He's one under me.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Because he's a bit bigger, though, too. He's bigger than Costa Zoo, isn't he? Yeah. He looks taller than his dad.
He's a junior middle, 69.2 or 69.9, I think it is.
Yeah, because he's a pretty aggressive fighter, too.
Yeah, be good to fight him one day, too.
Yeah, that's it, mate. Yeah. Line him up. Got to keep those sights open.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's the typical sort of week like for yourself, like where you're balancing work, family and training, sort of, how does all that split up?
Oh, mate. So I get up 4 o'clock, And just go to work early, go for a run or do some bag work or whatever, and then work all day, drive home from Sydney, spend probably 15 minutes with the fam, give them a kiss and a cuddle, and go to sleep and get ready to repeat pretty much every day, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. It's all about the grind, bro.
It is,
you know?
Man. It's all about the sacrifice you make.
It is, man. Man, that's a lot, you know.
That is a lot.
Like, you're putting in that, you know, travelling from the coast to Sydney, putting in all those hours, and then just trying to balance that family life and making those sacrifices and sweating it out in the gym, but, you know, keeping those sights intact.
Keeping the eyes on the prize, bud, they reckon.
That's it, mate. We've got some names to knock off.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute. So, any, like, we talked about eating and, like, any, the sort of the specific ways, and but you said you talked to a nutritionist and sort of lined up, you know, what you want to eat and all that sort of stuff. But you get into supplements and all that sort of gear as well? Good.
Yeah, no.
That's good, man.
Yeah, I don't.
Just taking in all that natural resource.
Yeah, that's what I reckon. You see a lot of people taking shakes, and I have thought about getting like Isagenics or something, and then I just think like it's a supplement. I reckon the supplement is something that you supplement from your diet you're not getting anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I just reckon it's mad to go just eat good food, man.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You know, getting the nutrients from that.
Yeah, none, man. None.
And I know it can get tricky too with supplements. Like, they get real stringent now, like with USADA and some of those other bodies with the supplements that you can and can't take.
I've tried it. I've tried to get involved with the I used to take like some protein powder with some plain yogurt, and I don't even do that now.
Nah.
None, like, yeah.
But if you know if that works, and especially if you got the balance with, you know, that sort of food, and it feels like you're cutting weight right and all that sort of stuff. And talking about cutting weight, when you had that fight back with
Isaac Buckley.
Was it the day before?
Yeah.
You cut like 3 kegs in the sauna.
It probably wasn't the best weight cut I've ever had. I think I was like, I won't go into the numbers, but I was pretty heavy. I think it's a bit silly, I think, that weight cut.
Yeah, but you got to do what you got to do to get on the scales and
get
a tick of approval and let's move on, lace up and have a crack.
I come down from pretty heavy as well. Like, it wasn't like I was like 90-something kilo.
Were you?
Yeah, like from the start to the fight, I walked into the gym, I got a photo, it was pretty fat.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But like when you haven't, say, going back to Blake Travers, like when you weigh in, and then what's it like eating and getting the water in after that? And do you put much more weight on after it?
Like, if you struggle for the weight, you can put a lot of weight back on, like, but I don't really put that much back on at super middle because I'm not really struggling that much.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have struggled, but it's not through big. It's only through poor management on myself.
Yeah. Well, that's it, because you see some of these big guys that cut the weight right down, and then, you know, and they're getting right back into the food and getting the water back in, they blow right back up.
You hear some big stories of people putting some massive weight back on.
Yeah.
Like, swaying in at 76 or something, they walk in the ring at 83 or 84 or something. You have some massive
Do you feel that difference? Like, if you're going against...
You do, you feel
just with the force.
Not the force. I reckon more the grappling side.
Clinching.
The clinching and the wrestling, like trying to pull your arm or something, or them throwing you around. I reckon that's when you feel it the most, or they lean on you. It's when you feel their weight.
Because they manipulate that too, yeah?
Look, if you've got some big dude, no one wants to carry someone else, do they? Whether it's in the ring or not.
Because it's wearing you out too, 100%. And it's like, just get off me, bro. I just want to throw up an uppercut, lay you out.
Yeah.
Okay. Next fight. For the tank.
Yep.
So is there anybody, like, because you're jumping down to this next weight class.
Yeah.
So is there anybody specific, or can you just jump straight into title contention for that weight class? Or what's your thoughts and feelings going
down
for
the middle?
This?
So I want the Australian title middle, Briggs.
Go for it.
I want it, man. And I don't think there's any reason why I can't be calling out Jeff Horn, or why can't I call out Michael Zarafa or someone, you know, middleweight. I believe in myself. I want the fights. I want to start making an impression, you know.
Do it, mate. Yeah. I'm loving this confidence, brother. Yeah. Because if you're riding on that, like, you know, with the title that you've got there, and if you can jump down the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just your style, like how you get into it. You,
yeah.
You reckon you match up well with the Hornet from Queensland?
I'll give it the best shot I could. I'll give you the tip. Yeah, of course, I reckon.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, yeah. Because they still, like...
He's great. I reckon he's a good fighter.
Yeah. So. With the gloves too, like if it goes down to, say, middle, they're still using 10 ounce?
Same gloves all the way down to 66 kilo under that.
Yeah.
8 ounces.
Yeah. God, they'd feel it through, mate. Especially with you, mate. Yeah. Big hook over
the
top.
I'm glad they're down there.
Yeah.
No, it's all right. You have to take it as well.
Yeah. So, like, you were talking about Jeff Horn.
Yeah.
Like, are there any other sort of big dogs you want
to... Well, Michael Zarafa.
Call him out, man.
Yeah, Michael Zarafa's fighting Jeff Horn in Queensland.
Yeah.
I'd like to fight him too one day, you know. Why not?
Yeah. Are they doing Suncorp or...?
I think they're fighting down in Melbourne, if I remember rightly. Yeah. Which I think Michael Zarafa's from Melbourne. He's a pretty good young fighter as well.
So are they sort of the two top tier, like, within the middleweight sort of at the moment?
There's a couple other guys. There's, like, this Australian title fighter. He's a pretty strong guy. He's from, like, Indian background. But I dare say, yeah, they're pretty the two top, I reckon.
Yeah. So would you go straight for them, or you want to call out this other fella first? Or?
This is my first fight at middle, so I'm not... I'll sit down and have a talk with my trainer.
Yeah.
See how we're going to go about it. And I can't wait, man. I'm pumped.
So timeline, you're pumped.
End of August, we're looking.
End of August?
Yeah.
Strap up, lace up, into it.
So I started training Monday, not in camp, just started getting the body moving and done some punching. It still hurts my hand a little bit, but I'm...
Slowly getting better.
Yeah, it's time to get in there, I think.
Yeah. So it's just like when you're sparring, just taking a little bit easier with your...
Yeah, man. I think I just got to build the muscles up around my wrist, and I think it'll be right, man.
Yeah.
So
what kind of stuff do you... Because I'm just thinking, going back to Costa Zoo, some of the training methods he had, you know, like where he'd be doing push-ups
on
his knuckles and where he'd be flexing his wrists out and then flexing back up and then pushing back up. I just... The amount of strength in
the
forearms.
He's still strong. Do you follow him on Instagram?
No. I'll have to look him up.
Yeah.
He's still gunning.
Oh, he's like doing calisthenics and, yeah, he's a gun. He's a gun, mate.
Is he still rocking a rat's tail or what?
Yeah. He is, man. He is, yeah.
Nah, Costa, I love you. Rat's tail, mate.
Yeah, what a weapon, man.
Yeah, it's like Samson, you know, he cut that thing off and he loses all his power. Nah, but seeing the training that guy used to go to, and that's it. That's what I love about boxing and just combat sports, just the discipline. And
it's good. It's mad.
Yeah, yeah. And talking about that and, like, discipline and being up on the coast, what's the boxing scene like, mate? And, you know, because you've come through, like, boxing on the coast and... You know, been an inspiration for some of the young kids coming up through here. So, what's it like up here in general? Because I know you got Jamie Pittman down the southern end of the coast, and you've got a few other boxing gyms and other combat sports stuff going on. So, what's it generally like up here?
It's grown. So, hasn't it grown? Like, back when I was younger, I would have been like one of a couple of kids on the coast that would box, and now. It's pretty popular. You got Mannix over. He's just won the junior middle New South Wales title. Absolute gentleman of a bloke. His good family. And they're running the gib at Budgie Boy upstairs. Like, that's always packed.
Yeah, right. That's been there forever.
Man, there used to be like a slot car set up there. And now they're running that gym. Oh, like, it is chock-a-block packed.
Yeah.
And then you got, like, people are running stuff out of Mark Ruggiero's gym still, like.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't too sure. Like, yeah. I know the shed's there. I'm, like, wondering, is it, are people still getting in there?
Yes.
And
I don't.
Does he train up in there or what? Ruggiero got other people?
I don't
know
what he's doing with himself, to be honest. I think he just got married.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Right.
But, yes. And then you got, like, Petey down. He's Jamie Pittman's down at Gosford somewhere. Like, he's got a good little stable, and he's just become the future coach at the AIS, which is congratulations.
Yeah.
And like, you got King Cumber, and then still your minor PCYC with Joel Keegan's down, well, top bloke he is.
Yeah.
He's down there, he's always packed, and like, then you got awesome young girls coming out, and ladies, like.
It's awesome.
So, yeah, it's great, man. It's come.
Shout out to the ladies throwing on the leather and giving it a go.
Good on them, I reckon. You got, like, the Pebbles Warhammer, I think she's on Instagram. She's a gun.
From up here, yeah?
Yeah, she's down in your minor. And then you got Kate Scott. And
yeah.
All these chicks that are just having a crack.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Because are they training with Pittman, are they, or?
They're training down in your minor PCYC.
Yeah. Because I see him mix where, because I know he also trains with Central Coast MMA.
Yep.
Yeah, because the guy that runs that, Ross Pearson, because he used to be in the
real deal.
Yeah, the real deal.
Yeah.
Because he used to be in the UFC and then he retired from MMA and now he's getting into boxing.
Yeah,
so.
He fought in the last Tim Zoo undercard.
Yeah, that's right. And he got a win. I didn't see it, but do you know if he went all right? Or?
Oh, I didn't watch the fight, but good on him, I reckon, having a go.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. What weight class is he at?
I don't know. No, I'm not too sure. I don't think, probably around 70. He fought at 75, didn't he?
He fought lightweight.
Which is?
70 kilos.
Oh, so he might be junior middle, 69.9.
Yeah, and then he fought at featherweight too.
Yeah.
Which is around the 65 kilo mark.
They drop some big weight, don't they?
Crazy, man. Like, especially because you don't have all those classes like boxing.
Yeah.
And then because you've got, I'm pretty sure, you know, when you're going from, say, feather 65 and then lightweight 70 and then welterweight 70, I think it's 79. Or 78, 79, like, you know, like George St. Pierre, them guys. And then you've got middleweight. And some of those guys are monsters. Like that, that's like 84 kilos. Like if you look at some of the blokes that Robert Whittaker's fought, you know, like they'll.
Is that 84 kilos, though?
Yeah.
Is that middleweight?
Yeah.
That's massive.
Yeah. I know. But then the next step's like light heavyweight. And then that's like around the early. 90 range, and that's like John Jones. And the guy, he must cut so much weight, man, to get down because he's like a 6'4" monster.
So light heavy's 90, and then what is it, 85?
Yeah, around that.
So
what's that in?
Oh, that's like, so you got light heavy 79, and then goes from 79 to 91's cruiser.
Yeah.
Oh, 90 and a half.
Yeah.
So that's probably their biggest. They sort of need one in the middle, I reckon.
Yeah, they do. Because it's good with boxing, like having all those different weight classes.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the weight cutting issue, because especially in like mixed martial arts, if you've got these massive variances, because it makes a world of difference when you've got someone that's huge and cutting all this weight and they take advantage of that, you know? So, but, mate. So we're going to talk about some of these current champions.
Yep.
I know you've dropped down a weight, but if we're looking at the super middles, like I just want to know what you think of these guys. You know, if they're any good or if they're bums or what. Yep. So if we're looking at the different sanction bodies, so if we're looking at, say, with the WBA, so we have Callum Smith.
Whoa. weapon.
Is he? I think he's like, yeah, he's 26-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a weapon.
Yeah.
He was yellow.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he like? Because he's more of a, is he a pressure fighter or?
I haven't watched too much of him.
Yeah, I never follow
him on Instagram, man.
Yeah.
Like, and he won that, I can't remember what he won. I think he won that, the Super Series, the Ali trophy and that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Beast, eh? So, you've heard of this name. Everybody's heard of this name. WBA from Mexico.
Yeah.
Mr. Alvarez, Mr. Canelo Alvarez. Yeah.
Someone I look up to. I've watched so many
sides. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a, he's accomplished a fair bit, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, because he's, like, he's very, dropped a lot of weight and gone up and down. Like, that's his story a bit, yeah?
Yeah.
Because he's fought, like, Mayweather.
Yeah.
Tiny. And then he's pumped up.
Yeah. Crazy, isn't it?
I know. But he looks pretty thick, though. Like, it suits him.
Yeah, he's a pretty big body puncher too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, getting straight into the liver and the kidneys,
cracker,
mate.
Eh?
Yeah, yeah, he's got power.
He's had some couple of good fights with Triple G.
Yeah, I thought Triple G would have got over him. Like, because the first one was a draw.
Who do you think won?
I reckon Triple G.
Yeah, I reckon Triple G won the first one.
Yeah.
Canelo won the second.
Yeah, easy. But where was that? Do you know if it was in Mexico or probably in the States it would have been?
Because
that's where they make the dollars, eh?
Yeah.
You know? So we're going to move on to the next one, WBC. Anthony Dirrell.
Yeah, I don't really know much about him.
Yep. Oh, we'll skip him then.
Yeah,
he's all good. IBF. Caleb Plant. You know much about him?
Nah, I don't know much about him.
Nah. WBO. Billy Joe Saunders.
Ooh, southpaw, fast, real
fast. Fast, yeah.
Yeah. I like him, man. I reckon he's cool.
Yeah.
He trains with Tyson Fury.
Does he?
Yeah, he's mad. I reckon he's good.
Tyson Fury's like 6'9".
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, he doesn't like spar, but same trainer.
Yeah, okay.
They're always on Instagram together.
Yeah, right. Mugs, eh?
Yeah.
And talk, man, you would have saw that fight against, come on now. I'm lost.
Oh, Deontay Wilder.
How
did he get up?
The bronze bomber. Man, he's intimidating when he comes in with his walkout, you know, with all that mask and everything that's going on.
I don't know how Tyson Fury got up, man. Like, as Deontay Wilder's walking back to the corner, celebrating, doing all these dances, and he's just like, oh.
This dude just rose from the dead.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have got up because that hand... You know, it seems like it's not just you going to the hospital. Like, you know, he'd put someone in the grave with that sort of power. But he's got a weird style. It looks like he's semi...
Very awkward, isn't he?
Like he almost jumps into it sort of thing. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
It is. He's come up from Cruiserweight, I think.
Yeah. But did you see his last fight?
No.
I know. I forget the guy's name. But... It lasted probably, I know it was first round, and there was a bit of a flurry from old mate on Deontay, and then Deontay just on the typical fashion, just throwing in that bomb, and the guy didn't get up for a while. Scary stuff, man.
Yeah.
But.
Heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, but what's frustrating, you know, like if we're going to talk about the top three. Like when we're talking about the heavyweights, we've got Wilder, we've got Fury, and we've got Joshua. Like, what happened there with Joshua trying to fight Wilder? You know, and then he ended up fighting Ruiz, and then it's like he's taking a backward step now.
I don't know. I reckon it's good that I felt like the whole heavyweight division was sort of controlled by Joshua. Like, in his team, like, who they wanted to fight, when they wanted to fight, where they wanted to fight.
Yeah.
Now that he hasn't got it.
That's true.
It's like all open to can of worms and people are like, you know.
Yeah. He's not the poster boy anymore, sort
like
of.
Like, it's sort of, he dictated when he wanted to fight or who he fought, you know. So
that's
now
true.
He's lost it.
It's like after Klitschko.
Yeah.
Putting him out, he sort of holds the reins for a
bit. Why didn't he fight Wilder? Why didn't he fight Anthony Joshua?
I know.
Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury.
They're from the same country, man. How can they not?
I know.
You know?
It was like he was, I don't know the logic behind it, like how he thought he was fighting lesser fighters.
Yeah.
And good on Ruiz, because when you look at Joshua, he looks like he's, his physique's like a superhero.
Yeah.
And then you got Ruiz, like, you know, where you're just thinking, man, they're just feeding this poor bloke to the wolves. And then he gets it over Joshua.
Yeah.
And
massive upset.
First American Mexican fight to gain the title. You know, and he went from fighting for way less money.
Yeah.
And now, you know, getting that cash day and being able to look after the family. Yeah. Now he holds the cards.
Yeah. I think they're having a rematch, and like as soon as the fight was over, there must be a clause in their contract to say that we've got to fight in England or something. As soon as the fight was over, Eddie Hearn said, looking forward to the rematch in the UK.
Is it, yeah, because you got Eddie Hearn. Who's the other one? Bob Arum.
Yeah, top rank. Yeah. Daniel Lewis just signed me.
Daniel Lewis?
Yeah. Do you know Daniel Lewis? He's like a young junior middle from Australia.
Yeah.
Went over and sparred Daniel Jacobs for the Canelo fight.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Well, they must be lining him up if he's gone over there to sign up. There must be something in the works.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, he's only just turned pro, so he's on his third. Like, he just had a win. So he's on his third fight now.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big signage, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, what? Like, fight overseas or here or?
I think he's going to America to fight. He was not long meant to fight in America. Something happened, I'm not too sure. He fought on a showdown in Sydney.
Yeah. So that's a goal, mate. Like, if we're looking at the trajectory of where the gentleman, the tank, you know, he wants to knock off these big names at middleweight, slot the title. So in a perfect world, just give us, like, say you knock off, get the middleweight title for Australia.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, it might be a Jeff Horn. Like, what would it be? Or maybe, if you're looking at the WBOs and the...
Well, I just want to be the best Josh Jenkins I can be, in boxing as well, you know. I just want to go as far as I can, make a bit of a statement in Australian boxing, you know. Try and make a bit of a... Just to show people, it doesn't matter how bad things are, you can always push through, work towards something and achieve, you know. Always.
So, yeah.
Yeah, just... I was staying with Rob Fogarty for my whole career. He's great. Try and push on as hard as I can with him, man.
Yeah, because can that be hard, like trying to find the right trainer and gelling with the team? Like,
I've had a couple of different trainers, and I feel like this is where I feel at home with him, you know? I ring up and have a joke and have a laugh. I feel like it's my friend.
Yeah.
It doesn't piss in your pocket.
Yeah.
You know? You don't want someone like that.
Yeah, well, you want someone telling you, you know, if you're not doing the right thing.
And if you're not going to, like, tell me if I'm wasting my time, let me know, like, you know, which you would too, so.
Because you're still evolving, you're still getting better, like, just with, like, general training and the way that you're, the evolution of Josh Jenkins.
The evolution.
That's it, mate. You know, getting that super middleweight.
Yeah.
But what other names you want to go for? So if you're looking at a Jeff Horn, but if you're going to go for some of these bigger titles, would it be like, I want to go to maybe Singapore and do something big there, or if I want to jump into Vegas, straight to Vegas, brother?
Like, I want to try. Obviously, got a long way to go, you know, these are all big dreams, but I just want to get a big title fight in America, or, you know, look what Billy Ackaway's done. He's gone over sparred Canelo Alvarez. He's like, he's what a champion, you know. And then he got a fight with Jonathan Ryder. Unfortunately, got stopped, but he had a massive opportunity as well, fighting for a big belt over there. You know, I can do that. Why can't I, you know? So hopefully that's my dream. Yeah.
Yeah. See, and that's when we're talking off camera before and just about inspiration, like you setting that mindset and talking about the boxing scene on the Central Coast, like you setting that path and showing that dedication. That's what, if you were going to talk to, you know, some of the youngsters out there and the dedication and everything that they have to go through to get to sort of the mindset of a boxer. And
yeah,
and because, you know, it's discipline, discipline, discipline. Is that where you sort of want to see it, being an inspiration?
Oh, of course. Of course I do. But I think if you're an up-and-coming, any up-and-coming sportsman, I think people look on social media too much and see Anthony Joshua and Mayweather and see, oh, because they're a boxer, they're doing all this. But, and you have to realise that you got to do everything else to get there. And some people forget that you're just not going to walk into a boxing gym and
yeah.
You can't do what they're doing, man. You got to work the hard yards to get the honour to be able to do that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, of course I want to be. I want to be that guy that I look up to. I want to show people that how good I am.
Yeah. You
know? I want to be the guy sitting on in front of the paper that people are talking about. Yeah. Why can't I be?
Yeah, that's it. Right. And you're doing the hard yards, you know. You're slogging it out at work, balancing that family life, and then, you know, training to set that goal.
Yeah.
To get, fully. You know. To get that middleweight championship.
Yeah.
Hopefully you could maybe set that up on the coast.
Well, imagine that, man. Central Coast Stadium or something.
Yeah.
Be like a Jeff Manny Pacquiao at Central Coast Stadium. Could've
set it higher, mate.
Yeah.
Pacquiao, that 20,000 stadium.
Yeah.
And, just thinking of back in the day. And shout out to the old man, old Papa Jenkins, Shane Jenkins. So, you know, when he was messing with us hood rats in Wyoming back in the day.
Yeah.
But just the setup, you know, you ran a good operation there with the weight system, with the gym and, you know, with a lot of the trainers and stuff that were coming through and the whole setup in general. And it was a good spot for us young fellas to go in and just get amongst that, you know, the discipline of training and the mindset of that.
Yeah.
Not specifically boxing, but just working out in the gym and just what it takes to, you know, just set a path of just general training and you know, just how that helps the body and the mindset and all that. So, yeah, shout out to the old man.
Big Papa Jack.
Yeah, Big Papa Jack. Yeah. But what used to trip me out was seeing Angelo Hyder back in the day, right? Because you'd see him coming in and out of the gym. And like over the years when we were younger and then a couple years later, you know, you're watching Danny Green fighting and it's like, and then you'd see him go to the corner and you're like, that's bloody Hyder up there.
He's
main trainer, cornerman. But like, do you hear from that bloke?
Yeah, I used to talk to him all the time.
Yep.
Oh, he's a big, massive part of my life growing up.
Yeah.
When I got into boxing, really, if it wasn't for him pushing forward or inspiring me for. So, yeah, of course, still talk. Oh, congratulations on everything you've done, I reckon.
Yeah, to get to that spot to, you know, just being able to corner someone like Danny Green in some of those big, hard situations.
Yeah.
And, you know, because especially in those big fights, and because you'd get it from your trainer, like just say when you're going back to the corner and just what's your trainer giving to you?
Oh, he's pretty relaxed in the corner, which is good for me because I get a little bit hyped up. So, yeah, it just, you know, calms you down, reminds you what you're there for, and then tells you, you know, You're not cutting the ring off. Let's start cutting the ring off. You know, just breaking the fight down from the outside.
Yeah, and just really getting that quickly in to get you sort of in ease, so to prep for the next round and just, I've got this sort of thing.
Trains me so he knows what I can do, what I can't do, what will work. So
yeah,
and he's pretty experienced. He's had his fair share of corners, I reckon.
Righto. So, when you, apart from throwing leather, apart from all the training and working and everything else, like, and when you're not in fight camp, spending time with the family and stuff like that, what do you do in your downtime when you're just relaxing and or any other sort of hobbies and stuff like that?
I used to go fishing all the time, but now it just gets to the stage where I'm so busy when I am busy that when I got downtime, I just go and kick back with the family. I go catch up with the boys and have a few tinnies. I don't really do too much of that these days.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just a real wind down. Just do normal things like when I go to work, taking Sangers to work or something, you know, just the little things.
Yeah, yeah.
Just cruising, taking the kids out and taking the kids to sports or just even sometimes like, because you don't get to put your kids to bed.
Yeah.
Even just if you're doing nothing, just enjoying the time to being able to take them to bed or...
Just those little things.
Man, like little girls do dance and just be able to rock up if there's no work on and pick them up to watch them dance for the last 5 minutes or something, you know. Just the little things in life that are just so rewarding when yeah. you're not. Then when you do it all, it makes it like, why am I really doing this, man?
Yeah.
You know?
It's like I'm doing it for you guys. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, man, that's solid.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So... Sponsors.
Yes.
Shout outs.
Yes.
You know, if it's got to do with your social media or just everybody that's been behind you, your trainers, your sponsors, throw it out there, brother, who you want to pay your thanks to.
I've got a few. Probably have to look at my phone and get them all out.
See it, mate. Take your time.
So, sponsors. First of all, my Facebook, Josh Jenkins, jump on and follow me. My Instagram is Team Jenk the Tank. Jump on and follow me there. All the support is always welcome, mate. So.
Yeah, those kookaburras in the background, eh?
Yeah. I can hear him in here.
Yeah.
That's a trip here.
That's awesome.
All right.
I like that.
Hmm.
You can tell you live in Australia, eh?
Yeah. Well, when this goes worldwide, mate, you want him to know.
Yeah.
So I've just got a new phone, Briggsy, so.
It's all good, brother.
There we go. So first of all, Jones Group, which I'm wearing here right here now. They're probably one of my major sponsors, along with East Coast Window Tinting. Do you know North Wild? They're great people.
Yeah, yeah,
mate.
Yeah.
Top people. Also, I've got Stages Civil. They're a drilling company as well. Pacific Drilling, another drilling company. And I've got Nick Jenkins from All Tapped Out Plumbing. What a good guy. You know him as well.
Shout out to Jenk. Yeah. The other Jenk.
Yeah, the other Jenk. That's one more here. Oh, my goodness, I remember.
It's all good, brother. I've seen your board, like you've got,
yeah, I've got
the amount of sponsors that you got.
You'd think I'd be loaded. definitely not the case.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got Veltrain. Another guy, Jimmy Vella. Big shout out to Jimmy Vella. What an awesome guy. He's helped me even through just when I had an ankle reconstruction, helped me out then to help me get my trainer's assessor's ticket so I can start training people to be crane drivers instead of me driving the cranes. So a big shout out to him. I've got Evoke. He's a concrete as well. Got Empire Constructions. Big shout out to Jazza. He's an awesome guy. I've got Italian Master Concreters. Big Alex, mate, another top person. Central Coast... medical supplies, they give me all my tape for my training. And
oh, when you're getting all strapped up, they got you sorted?
Yeah, they got me sorted, mate. I've got C&S concrete pumping as well, mate. Yeah, I've got DRP, Big Keg.
Yeah, I've heard of that mob. Yeah, yep, yep, yep.
Good guy. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. I haven't forgotten anyone. I'll probably get a chill one. Huru, yeah, all the boys, mate, everyone, if I've forgotten anyone. I do apologise, there is a couple of them, but yeah, everyone, even if some people like, give me $50, man, like, that's still...
Anything, especially when you're going through your fire camp, yeah?
It's huge, mate, so yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, potential sponsors out there.
Give us a... help me.
Yeah, this bloke's on the rise.
Yeah.
So, August.
End of August, mate, my first fight at middleweight. It's jobs on, bud.
Jobs on.
Jobs on.
And then it just keeps moving up there.
Yes.
Moving up and hopefully get the Canelos in there.
Why not, bro?
Yeah. But, mate, much appreciated for coming here. I really appreciate it. And, you know, you're nothing but a gentleman.
No, thanks, mate.
And, mate, I just hope it just keeps going up and up with the trajectory with your boxing. You know, when you were talking about, you know, what you went through with a young fella and then, you know, you went through that rough patch.
Yeah.
And now you're back on the path.
Yeah.
So it's just onwards and upwards.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having us. I hope the podcast goes well.
Cheers, brother. Much appreciated.
Sweet.
Boom.
Done.
Done, brother. Righto. So you heard the man speak. What a champion. Literally. So, you've seen his details. Any potential sponsors out there, get on board. Like I said, he's on the way up. And also, if you want to get in contact with me through Instagram, it's Street Rolling Cheater. And email, one word, streetrollingcheater@gmail.com. Righto, we'll see you on the next one.